This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At 12:18 on Grant and Danny, we'll get your reactions to the Redskins news of the weekend. No GM until after the draft. And Kevin O'Connell may be out as Pat Shurmur, Scott Turner, being considered for the OC job.
Very curious. Did it catch you wrong? I was trying to fill some space there.
During the break, you just jumped. You're doing what I want. I'm like pointing
Pat,
at you, like,
Pat
bail
Shurmur,
me out.
Pat Shurmur's going to be my coach the team.
I'm literally pointing at Danny, like, give me something.
Yeah,
I need you.
Yeah, it might be Pat Shurmur.
I ate a Slim Jim during the break.
Oh, yeah.
It'll get you. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened, but something isn't where it's supposed to be.
No, I get you. I had that with some peanuts yesterday where I was mid-sentence, and all of a sudden I sounded like, I don't know what I sounded like. It was like the Crypt Keeper come through.
What kind of peanuts?
Regular salted peanuts. Cocktail peanuts.
I love a good salted peanut.
You're so good.
I thought you just weren't able to get Pat Shurmur's name out as a real viable candidate.
You're so ticked off about it.
No. Hey, I promise it wasn't that. Actually, I ate a Slim Jim during the break, and I haven't been able to talk pretty much for a couple minutes, and I thought, oh, I'm fine now.
I'll be fine.
I took the temperature. I stepped across the timeline. I hoisted a 3, and it was an air ball. So there we are. Let's get to our Beltway Blitz. We will be talking to you about Shurmur as a possibility, about the GM search, about Scott Turner, Kevin O'Connell, coming up at 12:18. Craig Hoffman is our Redskins beat reporter, joining us now on GND. Craig, why don't we start with no GM until after the draft? Your reaction to that?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I think that they want to wait and see who is going to be available, and they want to see how this group works together. Does Kyle Smith potentially emerge as a real viable GM candidate internally, or do they want to go ahead and find someone outside, whether it's, you know, Smith being ready? You know, as the story and the reporting went, he lost his wife tragically last year and stepped away from football completely, and he's just not ready to return yet. Well, 4 months from now, is he ready to return? I think that there's a lot of factors here to consider, and just keeping the continuity of, all right, hey, here are our scouts. These are the players they've looked at. They've been working together. Let's get through the draft, especially with the staff that's done really well in the draft the last couple of years, makes a ton of sense.
So, but we do think they're actually going to go through and do this, right? They're going to hire a GM. I know what they've said, but I could see that Zorn-like scenario where they're looking for somebody, and it turns out we don't need anybody after kind of this whole thing goes on. They are going to hire a GM, yes?
Yeah, I think Rivero probably wants one. He wants someone in charge of personnel. I mean, they could do kind of what they have done where, you know, there's the report from Lock and Fora that they're going to bring in a guy who Ron worked with in Carolina, kind of in the role that Eric Schaefer is, and they could swap Eric and that guy out. And then they could elevate Kyle's responsibilities, add some to Alex Santos's responsibilities, and kind of do what they did when Bruce was there, where no one had the official title, but as long as everyone in the league knows who to call for a trade and they have people evaluating personnel, they could. But you always want someone at the top. You want someone who all those people are reporting to. And so, and Ron knows that, and I don't think he necessarily wants it to be him on the personnel side. He's not a guy that craves personnel control. He wants input, as every coach does, but I think ultimately, like, he wants someone else in charge of the scouting meetings and things like that. So I do think they will eventually follow through with this. And I think the aversion of doing so the last couple of years was not something that Dan Snyder was strong on. It was a Bruce Allen thing where he's like, no, I got it. We're good. And obviously Bruce is no longer here to have that aversion.
Kevin O'Connell spent several hours meeting with Ron Rivera since Scott Turner has interviewed for the job. Pat Shurmur's name has been knocked around the office internally as a guy they would consider interviewing if O'Connell leaves. How do you think this is going to play out at the OC role?
My best educated guess is that Kevin is waiting to see if Josh McDaniels gets a job and maybe even one or two other people to see how things shake out and if he feels like there's a better opportunity somewhere else. If there is, then he might want that and ask Rivera to let him go. And I don't think Ron's the type of guy who's going to be like, no, I'm demanding that you stay, especially when he probably, at least on some level, likes his other options. Like, he's worked with Scott Turner before. He knows what he's capable of. Pat Shurmur was a very successful offensive coordinator to the point that he got a head coaching job, even if that particular head coaching job did not go very well. So I think that when you look at those scenarios and you look at all the data in front of you and the things that I know about the situation, that to me is what's happening right now. And ultimately, we should know by, you know, now that especially McDaniels is out of the playoffs with New England being eliminated over the weekend, I feel like we know sooner rather than later, you know, within the week, what's happening there. And then ultimately the franchise proceeds with either Turner or Shurmur as the offensive coordinator, and maybe both of them on staff too. Let's not count that out. Turner, you know, his last job was an interim OC job, but he was the quarterback's coach in Carolina last year. And if he thinks that Shurmur or O'Connell could potentially be gone in a year for a head coaching job if things go well with Haskins and it continues to grow and people and the team wins, then maybe he sees that as a path to being an OC a year from now.
Craig, if Haskins hadn't played well those last six quarters, I think this would be a different discussion. But you saw the growth. If I'm the Redskins, in no uncertain terms, I'm not letting Kevin O'Connell go anywhere. I need them together at least for another year to get Dwayne Haskins comfortable. Then we can maybe change offenses up on him. Has there been any conversation about that?
I mean, I think there has, and I think this is going to come down to whether Snyder wants to really get involved here and enforce that in a way that Bruce Allen used to, or is it really going to be Ron Rivera's choice where he goes, hey, look, I understand we like Kevin a lot. He's our number one guy. We'd like to keep him, but it's a bad precedent to block coaches because then maybe it comes back around and we want to go after a guy. And it's just a bad reputation to have around the league to be the kind of person that stops someone from what they see as a career advancement. I understand it's a lateral move because Kevin's going to be an offensive coordinator somewhere else. He's not going to be elevated to a head coach, which league rules prohibit you from blocking. But at the same time, I think Rivera wants to set the right tone. You don't want someone who doesn't want to be there. And if it gets out that I wanted to go be Josh McDaniels' OC and they kept me here, like, what does that say to the players? I think Ron understands all that stuff. So could they just say, look, dude, you're under contract? Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's not a 0% chance, but I do think Rivera ultimately pulling the strings here, especially he has more power now than maybe he'll ever have because he's freshly minted. I do think the kind of his humanity will rue the day.
Craig, thank you.
You got it. See you guys.
JJ Regan, NBCSportsWashington.com with the latest on the hockey team. Continuing the blitz with the Caps. How about that win yesterday? First time the Caps ever won when down 2 goals in the final minute with the goalie pulled.
That was an absolutely incredible game to watch. As soon as Logan Couture scored the empty netter, I thought the game was over. All the writers thought the game was over. All the fans thought the game was over. Everyone thought the game was over except for the Capitals. And especially Jacob Vrana, who scored just 13 seconds later. So good on them for not giving up. Like I said, an incredible game to watch. An absolute nightmare game to try to write an instant article on, which I was tasked with doing. But still very fun to watch.
Joe Johnson, Reagan, obviously that's an amazing ending. But the downside is they haven't really played as well here of late. I still think the team is special. But you're seeing a bit of a swoon. I think some of that was inevitable, just the way that they started for the first few months or so. But what are we seeing kind of generally in the Capitals play? It feels like they're giving up more goals here lately than we're used to seeing.
Yeah, well, I think there are two things going on here. First off, if you had asked me months ago, and a lot of people did, can they keep this pace up forever? I was told no. They physical style game, very committed game, and it's hard to block for hard for 82 games. Don't play the you play December and January as you do in October and in April. It's inevitable. You can't play that way for 82 games, especially the style the Caps play. Maybe Toronto can because they don't play all that physically. They're probably going to be the same team from October through to into the playoffs. You know what you're getting from them. The Caps are a little different with their style. You have to commit to it, and it's hard to get that 100% commitment for 82 games. The second thing that I think we've seen they're seeing a lot more of teams like Columbus and Carolina who play an aggressive forecheck. That is still a weakness for this team. They still don't play all that well against it. So I think that those would explain the recent swoons, but plenty of time for them to improve in that area because that's something that if teams are scouting the Caps, they're probably going to see a lot of come playoff time.
JJ, thank you very much. We appreciate you.
Anytime, guys.
See you, buddy.
A sensational win for the Capitals. That was your Beltway Blitz. We're Grant and Danny. We are going to get into the Redskins. The offensive coordinator search that is ongoing with O'Connell still in the building, as well as what they're going to do from a general managing standpoint. But next, related to the Redskins, Tua Tagovailoa has made his decision. Is he going pro? Is he entering the draft, or will he go back to Alabama? This is going to dramatically impact Washington with the number two pick, you'd have to imagine. This is G&D. We've got the answer next. We'll get back into the teams that won this year and actually got to play in the playoffs in just a few, but a lot of Redskins news this weekend to break down that matters. Most notably in the front office, they will wait to hire their general manager until after the draft. And on their coaching staff, Ron Rivera is still trying to determine who his offensive coordinator is going to be. A vital decision because he's defensive-minded and spends a lot of time running and calling plays recently, although he won't this year with Jack Del Rio. That side of the ball. So does he keep Kevin O'Connell to continue to work with Dwayne Haskins? Does he bring in Scott Turner, who he's interviewed, who was his OC at the end of the year in Carolina? He is Norv Turner's son, played his high school football at Oakton and coached at South County when that school opened up. Some of the decisions Rivera is banting about on his coaching staff. Here's some Redskins news, though, indirectly. Tua Tagovailoa from Alabama announced today that he is going to the NFL draft. He is leaving Alabama, and he will be draft eligible. The question becomes, after the serious hip injury that he suffered this season, how high on draft boards will he be ranked, and where will he come off the board? Because initially, it looked like he was going to be the number two pick, potentially. He and Joe Burrow and Chase Young were kind of the big three.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterbacks just generally go before defensive players. Obviously, need can determine where those guys go. But there was a time where there was a three-person draft class here, and then it was everyone else. Burrow, Tua, Young. Now it's two players that have separated themselves, Burrow and Young, because of Tua's injury. This is huge for the Redskins, though, because if he's able somehow to prove that he's healthy, or if people that evaluate him in medical departments around the league feel like he's going to be able to go out and play at a high level for years to come, you could have teams willing to trade up to get him at number two, and then you could move down and add a bunch of picks in a trade scenario.
More good players in the NFL draft is good for teams at the top. You get more options, right? This is simple. Even if you don't want to trade down, even if you don't get a good offer, for trading down. The worst case scenario is you end up with a really good football player, right? But the more options, the better when you are up at the top, right? Let somebody make you an offer, and that's what should be happening. You should just be, you know, have write yourself 17 different phone lines and make sure that they're always open and available. Have your DMs open, the whole nine yards. This is good for the Redskins because here's what's going to happen. Maybe this is what could happen, right? Right now people are going, his injury, I don't know, how does it stack up? And then in the week leading up to the draft, he might, you know, work out and show how much progress he's made, or some video of him running through the agility ladder, or people start looking at his college film, which is absurd, and might realize, hey, this guy's worth the wait, depending on how long you believe he's going to be out for, or whatever, right? He is a star. I think this is a can't-miss star. His ball placement, his accuracy, his escapability, he's not the big, tall, strapping quarterback, the Josh Allens of the world. He's not that guy. He doesn't have maybe the arm strength of some of the other kids that have come out in the not-too-distant past. The production is absurd. Yes, he's playing with great players, but he's also playing against some really good defenses over the course of his career. He's a leader. He's a star. You instantly become popular when you draft the guy. He brings a following. To me, this is a no-brainer top five pick. And I know people are going to say, well, what about the injury? It's worth the risk when you talk quarterback, right? It just is. You're going to wait it out. Maybe you wait half the season, depending on your latest prognosis. But again, this is great news for the Redskins. I was worried he'd have to go back and, quote-unquote, prove himself. I think they realize that with the recovery that he's made to this point and what it looks like, his prognosis, he knows it's better to start rehabbing at a pro facility while earning some money. This is great news for the Skins.
Yeah, it is. And like you said, every single time any of these guys declare, that pick becomes more valuable. And if you're Team Danny and you want to trade back, or you're more like me where you're not sure yet, and you certainly would be perfectly fine taking Chase Young. If I had to make the decision right now, I would go in the Young direction more than the trade-down direction until I know exactly what I'm being offered. Doesn't matter. You just want that pick to be worth the most possible, and this helps in that regard. So let's get to the two stories We got two balls in the air here we're juggling.
We can do it.
OC, GM. Of these two, what do you care more about? I don't want to say what bothers or worries you more, because that puts a negative spin on it that isn't necessary. Maybe neither of these things bother you. I care more, though, about the OC situation because of Haskins. I think Dwayne Haskins being good is the quickest path to this team being relevant. And if he is good, then they're much closer than you and I think they are right now. If he isn't, then they're screwed for a couple of years, and they still have to go find a quarterback, and Ron Rivera's in for a much different building phase than he's expecting. I worry, though, about asking Haskins to learn a second offense in 2 years. I've always said that I think the offseason between year one and year two is the biggest offseason for quarterbacks. A lot of coaches around the league will tell you that. I didn't make it up. I just parrot what I've heard from guys that I've covered. So I care much more about the O'Connell thing right now than the GM part of this. I also happen to think that maybe they have a GM that they just can't hire yet. But it's also not the end of the world. It's just what I would prefer. It's what the really good teams do. But I think there are GM candidates available pretty frequently who would be good hires. Rick Smith, as an example, will be available after the draft. If they wanted to go hire that guy who was with the Texans and they decided at that time, this is when we'll do it, cool, no problem. The O'Connell storyline here is more important to me. Last I heard on this, by the way, he interviewed for several hours with Rivera already. It's hard to get a lot of information because, like, the Redskins coaches have basically gone dark at this point. Everyone's worried about talking to anybody because there was so much miscommunication and misdirection. So what I've heard from third parties, though, is, number one, that Kevin O'Connell is still, for the moment, the offensive coordinator. Number two, that they have interviewed Scott Turner and they considered interviewing Pat Shurmur and are still talking about him as a legitimate option if O'Connell leaves. But that O'Connell does have other options and is very interested in exploring them. He doesn't get to just walk. If Kevin O'Connell wasn't under contract for a year, he would not be coming back. I really believe that based on the people that I've talked to who have some working understanding of the Redskins building. But because he's under contract, you can't just say definitively he's out because he works for the Redskins.
Right.
So the question is, what does he say and ask of them? Do he and Rivera hit it off to a point where he loves him and wants to stay?
Because that's the dynamic, is they were interviewing each other. I think simultaneously, right? Rivera needs to figure out if I want to work with this guy. I think the same was true for Kevin O'Connell. I really do, right? He was simpatico with Jay Gruden. They got along really well, it seemed like. And he tolerated Bill Callahan, but that wasn't the best situation, right? They were diametrically opposed as to how they view offense.
And this isn't that crazy either. Imagine if you signed up to do this show, and then one way, like I get fired, or one way or another, we're no longer together. And your boss, like CK's gone, and there's a new program director coming in. And you're not doing the show you wanted to do anymore. And, oh, by the way, let's say I've got a gig now in another market where I need a guy. And you liked working with me. Or, you know, Dar and Tom have another show somewhere else. They're like, dude, we could get you in here. It's not that crazy to go to the place and say, hey, I know I'm under contract. Is it cool? I got 6 months left or whatever. I'm out.
Right.
Let me out of this deal. I want to go link up and do radio in this market.
Well, they're interviewing me to see if I want to stay. I'll interview them to see if I want to stay. If I've got options. It's certainly you don't blame guys for playing the leverage game. You shouldn't, right? Especially in a volatile world like coaching. It's very rare to have any kind of leverage over teams. Coaches get fired, man. It's kind of the, especially as assistants.
Which is a bigger deal, the GM or the OC?
To me, it's the GM. And I understand all your points and they're good ones. But I can't help but think as follows. Macro versus micro. The near future, you're 100% right. The O'Connell-Haskins relationship is paramount for the next couple of years. I'm talking direction of the franchise stuff. I'm talking about the owner and a sea change. I'm talking about the owner finally figuring out that the best way to win is to have an empowered head coach who serves at the pleasure of an empowered general manager who sets the course of the franchise. I know they've given Ron Rivera a lot of juice here, but I'm hoping that settles back down. A GM comes in. They have a wonderful working relationship that includes arguments and fights over players. I'm not thinking for a year, a couple years, Dwayne Haskins' development, because you're right about that. I think the general manager is the most important and elusive thing in the Dan Snyder era. And I haven't changed my opinion on that. So I understand in the near future, and even for purposes of this team in the next couple seasons, three, maybe 4 or 5 years, that Kevin O'Connell sticking around for another year gives Dwayne Haskins the best chance to continue his progression. To me, this is the direction of the franchise is at stake. It's who do you want to be from here on out? And you've got to start doing things right at some point, or you can just remain down at the bottom with the Browns and the other dregs of the NFL.
So I share your feelings on the significance of a GM, but I guess not that it's a disagreement, but I prioritize differently having to have one right now.
I get you.
You got a lot of people preparing. I mean, a GM coming in right now is not going to change that much about the draft board that they're assembling and the scouting that they've
no,
already
done.
No, it
will not. You're right.
Now, it'll certainly make the decisions different on draft day, but I think Ron Rivera is calling those shots anyway, mm-hmm. with a new GM or not.
Mm-hmm.
800-636-1067 is the number. You've got two roles for the Redskins that are being filled and or still right now that are important and still being decided. Offensive coordinator, working with Dwayne Haskins going into year two, and GM, working side-by-side with Ron Rivera, who it sounds like is going to have final say anyway. Which is more significant to you, and which do you spend more time worrying and hoping that they get right? 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, Grant and Danny on the Fan. As of right now, Kevin O'Connell is still the offensive coordinator of the Redskins, but will he be when the season starts? Scott Turner is interviewed for the job, and Pat Shurmur is another guy in consideration whose name has come up as they've kind of put their list together, depending on how wide they want to throw a net, which I don't know that they're going to answer until they know if O'Connell's the guy or not. We're not quite at Greg Minuski levels of interviewing for someone's job while they're still in the building.
Right.
But how is this that different, honestly?
Well,
Kevin O'Connell's under contract for next year, and as of right now, your offensive coordinator, and you're interviewing other people for his job.
Here's what's different is he has the will to leave, or he might be going, right, with a new head coach. This was, we got an incumbent that's been here for a couple years. He's on the staff. Jay Gruden is still your head coach, and we're actively looking for a replacement because this guy stinks.
I mean, maybe they have and we don't know it, but to my knowledge, to a lot of people's knowledge, they have not freed him to go look elsewhere.
Mm.
That would be pretty much a done deal at that point. They basically are saying, you're our offensive coordinator right now. You're not allowed to interview for other jobs. You're not allowed to talk to other teams. But guess what? We're going to interview Scott Turner. For the quarterback's job or the offensive coordinator job? Maybe both.
It's not important.
Pat Shurmur might be interviewing with us.
Yeah.
It's not that different than when Greg Minuski was your defensive coordinator sitting in your building and you were bringing people in to interview for his job. Is it?
I do think it is different because it's a new head coach filling out his staff and there are some holdovers. He's figuring out whether he wants to
keep
him.
I think it, to me, before you start hiring, when if he wasn't under contract, then everyone's just at even footing. He's under contract. So either tell him he can go look elsewhere or don't. But to say you're under contract, you can't do that. You don't have permission to talk to other teams. And also I'm going to interview other people while you have this job. I just don't like that. That's weird to me. Let's go to John in D.C. on the Fan. Hey, John.
Hey, what's going on, Grant, Danny? How you guys doing?
Good, buddy. What's up?
Good.
Hey, you know, I think the OC, I mean, I agree with both of you. I think the general manager and the OC are equally important. But, you know, if what you're hearing about O'Connell wanting to leave, you know, he can't leave now because he's under contract. And if they don't sign him to the same time as they signed, like, a Del Rio or Rivera to, I mean, we're starting over next year anyway with another OC if O'Connell splits. So why not sever it now and then have him? I'd rather have Haskins learn a new system now rather than be in this, talking the same discussion this time next year.
Actually a great debate, and I'm glad you bring it
good
up.
Call, buddy.
Because that's probably the leverage that he would have. And I'm spitballing here, but I would have
meaning
to
O'Connell
imagine,
would have.
Yes.
You don't want this quarterback to have to start over.
Correct. But if you're under contract, what can you say? They just say, no, we want you. We're keeping you. The only thing he could do is just leave next year. Say, okay, I'm not. Because they try to extend him if he gets the quote-unquote job from Rivera. If he signs a 2-3-year extension, then all of this is about nothing and who cares? He's here for the long term until he gets a head coaching job. But if he says, no, I'm not doing that. I want to go work with fill-in-the-blank coach or my buddy who just got this head coaching job, what have you. I want to go, potentially, he's going to have to not call plays. I mean, there are a lot of head coaches that are going to call their own plays as
right.
It is. He's got a decent situation here because he's got Ron Rivera who's not going to be doing that, obviously. But are you better off? So I'm Rivera now.
Okay.
And I know O'Connell's not going to re-sign with us next year, hypothetically, if that's the play that he makes. Are you better off saying, We'll wait till next year and let him walk. Because at least then, that year one to year two offseason for Haskins, which is where the quarterbacks
so critical
grow the most, at least he had two straight years in this offense, two straight years with this same guy, two straight years of identical verbiage, and that most vital offseason with O'Connell and the consistency. Or do you just say, well, we got to throw it out the window going into year three anyway.
Look,
get it out of the way now.
If he's leaving, do it now. To me, that it's such a tenuous time for a young quarterback that I do whatever I can to keep the band together.
Yeah.
To me, this is a no-brainer, especially, you know, as you watch this offense.
So you just wouldn't even, like, even if he comes to you and says, hey, I'd really love to go work with Josh McDaniels, you go, sorry, you're here.
If it's that concrete, right, where it's like, I don't want to be here, then I guess you have to entertain that and figure something out. But to me, I'm going, you know, I try to sell him on my space. I'll say, what better opportunity for you to prove that you have it, that you can be a head coach really soon? You get to call your own place here. You got a young quarterback that's the arrow is trending up. We'll get you some more weapons. Show what you can do in this offense. You got a coaching job. I mean, who was it? The coordinator from the Tennessee Titans that got the head job. Was it LaFleur? I'm blanking on the guy's name.
LaFleur last year.
Matt LaFleur, yeah. He coordinated a mediocre Titans offense. Mediocre.
Right.
But he got to call the play, so he got a head coaching gig out of it. Like, there's your stepping stone. There's your path is to stay right here. So I'm going to try to convince him to stay if he's like, I need to leave. But if he's, I'm going to sandbag and be terrible and not really want to be here and it's not going to be great to work.
That's not a thing.
That's my point.
And he's not going to do that.
It'd have to be pretty dire. For me, I want no Shermers. I want no Turners unless they're quarterback coach and I'm getting rid of Tim Rattay for some reason.
How about this, though? And we are speculating a lot, okay? Because we just don't know all these answers.
Mm-hmm.
I would say some of this is informed speculation into what I'm about to say. I know from some of the people, and I've never once asked Kevin O'Connell about Dwayne Haskins since doing a story for him on The Athletic on the record in the preseason, okay? Never asked him directly about Dwayne Haskins.
Mm-hmm.
But I've talked to enough other people in that building, coaches that have been on the staff, people that know O'Connell well. If he has not grown a whole lot in how much he likes Haskins long term, let's say he's not sold on Haskins.
Because you don't want to hit your wagon to that star in that case, right?
Exactly. If he's not sold on Haskins and he tells you that in the meeting and you're Ron Rivera, would that make it more likely that you let him walk? I mean, if he goes, what do you think of Haskins? He made some strides. I like how much he grew. He's been coachable, but
I don't see it.
I don't love him. You know, he's not the guy long term that's going to be a Pro Bowler and take you to the Super Bowl. Like, wouldn't it mean at that point you'd want to link someone up who loves Haskins? And again, we're throwing a lot of things out there.
I get it. I mean, for me, I go, well, he's going to be here talking Haskins. And the best thing for him is for you to be here too. Even if you don't buy him as the franchise quarterback of the next Aaron Rodgers.
Potentially at the beginning of last year, look how far he came.
Right. And
if you're Jay Gruden as an example.
Yeah, and it's under your tutelage, Kevin. Like, to me, it's so important.
That's the thing. The last couple weeks, the progress that was made makes me want to keep O'Connell around more if I'm Ron Rivera.
Same here.
Let's go to Tyler in Fredericksburg. Hey, Tyler.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Danny. How y'all doing?
Hey, bud.
Good.
Good. All right, so my only thing is, guys, is that, you know, this whole thing about O'Connell and, you know, North Turner, the thing is that, or Turner's son, is that, one, you got O'Connell who's familiar with Dwayne Haskins, and that's a big thing. They created a rapport with one another, and they got Turner who's familiar with Ron Rivera, obviously. That was his offensive coordinator over there in Carolina. My only thing is with, you know, bringing in someone like Pat Shurmur is that, you got to understand, with all the other reports that are circling around out there, is that he wanted Daniel Jones, okay? When he was with the Vikings, he worked with Case Keenum. You're essentially or possibly creating a rift if you were to bring him over. Yes, he's an outstanding offensive coordinator, but an awful coach, and everybody knows that. So if I had to take a stab at it, yeah, as much as I want the best guy available to be offensive coordinator for our team, I would have to either go A, Turner, or B, O'Connell, just because O'Connell, like I said, has created that rapport with Haskins. Both Turner, him being from Carolina, even Rivera came out and said, you know, they marked Haskins as a first-round pick. So
has he said that? I never heard that.
I didn't hear that.
It wouldn't surprise me. A lot of people thought Dwayne Haskins was the best quarterback in the draft to cover it for a living. I never heard Rivera talk about his draft grade for Dwayne Haskins. It's odd that a coach would talk about that. But
it seems weird.
I'm not telling you he didn't. He may have done that in one of his scrums after the press conference. Kevin in Arlington, how are you?
Hey, fellas.
What's up, buddy?
Just on that point, it had been reported that Carolina, not necessarily Rivera, but the Carolina had a first-round grade on that.
Oh, interesting.
I can't remember exactly what happened. Okay, I had, and if I can find it, I'll bring it up next time. This is a fascinating subject because, really, there's three positions that are total wild cards. It's not just whether we keep KOC or replace him and let another McVay or Shanahan leave or LaFleur. It's not just who's going to be working with Rivera to be his counterpart, as Andy Reid has, as Pete Carroll has. It's who is going to quarterback us. I mean, with Tua now declared, I mean, as crazy as it sounds, it's like, what if Rivera and Kyle Smith and or who his successor might be that Rivera's talking to and can't hire until after the draft, what if all of them say we can't pass on Tua? I mean, it's a possibility. We can't rule it out that it's not a possibility. I think it's fascinating. All three positions are totally in flux, and they're sort of interdependent. I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah, it's well said in the sense that this offseason is going to be a blast. I mean, it really is, seriously. Yeah. Because of the GM part of this. Now, the head coaching search was so quick. You missed out on some of the normal search fun, so to speak. But you still, the OC part of this is captivating. And the relationship with whoever they bring in here, the front office, how they feel about Haskins, Rivera, we really don't know what he thinks about Haskins.
Right.
He had a chance to come out and endorse him and put him over, and he chose not to do
that. The opposite.
Presumably, he likes him very much, or you wouldn't think he would have taken the job, although I'd point to Jay Gruden, who took the job and then immediately moved on from Robert Griffin.
Took almost 45 seconds.
Quick as he could. So it's a good phone call. I mean, there is a lot to monitor this offseason with these Redskins, and we'll be there every step of the way for you on Grant and Danny. Next, have you seen the opening betting lines for the upcoming round football games?
I have not yet.
All right, do not look them up.
Okay.
I'm going to have you guess the betting lines, and we'll go through the first glance at the divisional round next on Candy. Wild card round behind us, divisional round up next, starts on Saturday. By the way, I think I have that right. I never can do that without thinking about it. Like, there's no second nature. I'm just going to speak without any thought and talk about round one and round two in the NFL and correctly label wild card and division. The way that
you always have to think about it.
I have to think like, okay, wild card means teams that got in via the wild card, so that's first.
But then there's also division
there. Champions, even though they're already playing, is second. I think I have it right. If someone called up and said, you're saying it wrong, I'd be like, oh, okay, my bad. I'll die not correctly really knowing. I like to say first round, second round, which is probably wrong somehow too.
Yeah, that's what I like. I'd prefer that. But they have to do it. You got to go wild card round, divisional round, conference championship, Super Bowl.
So let's go through the schedule for the second weekend of NFL playoff action. It'll kick off on Saturday afternoon. The Vikings at the 49ers, expected to be about 55 degrees in San Francisco, cloudy day. As of right now, they're not expecting any precipitation for the 10-6 Vikings and the 13-3 49ers. This is your Kirk Cousins, Kyle Shanahan, if you're a Redskins fan from the Mike Shanahan era.
Indeed.
Matchup, which is pretty compelling. So, betting line is out. I want to know Danny Ruye. You know San Francisco will be favored as the 13-3
yep.
home club.
Although they weren't the same team in the second half.
I'm using the Westgate Sportsbook. Minnesota is coming off of a dramatic win in overtime. They just beat a team in New Orleans that is every bit as good as the 49ers. You'd agree? On the road at New Orleans, that's a better win probably than if they beat San Francisco this weekend in a less daunting environment. What's the line?
I'm going to say San Francisco is favored by 5.5 points. 5.5 points for San Francisco.
Not bad. We give you a point wiggle room. You're right there. San Francisco right now, -6.5.
See that?
Okay. Yeah.
I feel good about myself there. Nice.
I think you're right where you need to be.
Good job, me.
So San Francisco should win this game, obviously. If the Vikings defense plays as well as it did against the Saints, you don't have to contend with Michael Thomas. There is no receiver for the 49ers that good. Breeze is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. San Francisco's a much better rushing team.
They're going to challenge your discipline, too, because everything's a fake. Everything's a counter. True. Everything's a play based on a play, on a play, on a play.
Also, teams that just pound the ball on the Vikings normally match up pretty well with them. Uh-huh. And not to say you can't make big plays in the passing game. I didn't think New Orleans tried to go down the field enough. They hit on a couple of those plays, including the Taysom Hill deep shot in the first half. But think about when the Redskins played the Vikings pretty tough, even though they weren't nearly as good. Green Bay, who's given them fits. Mm-hmm. Aaron Jones has run all over them.
Mm-hmm.
I think San Francisco grounds and pounds them and wins the game. -6.5 is the line to kick off the weekend. The nightcap on Saturday is the Lamar Jackson show. Cannot wait for this game. Tennessee, as physical and stout defensively as any team the Ravens will face in these playoffs.
Uh-huh.
But their first test comes with Lamar Jackson rested. Questions about Mark Ingram's health and availability. You know what Jackson wants to do. He's going to run the ball 17 or 18 times. He's going to master read option and give you fits. You don't know with misdirection where the ball is. He's going to hit his tight ends, Mark Andrews and company, and he's going to throw two or three balls downfield to Hollywood Brown. That's the list. Titans at the Ravens. Baltimore clearly going to be favored. They're the one seed. They're the best team in football. What's the line?
If I had to guess, this is the biggest line of the weekend. It's either I went back and forth between Houston, Kansas City, and Tennessee, Baltimore. I'm going to go big here. I think Baltimore is favored by 11.5 points.
Only favored by 9 right now.
9?
Yeah.
Ooh.
People are buying the Titans. I don't know if it's because they had the best offense in the NFL in the second half of the season. It's also just hard to unsee them slaying the dragon a couple nights ago.
And Derrick Henry just running roughshod.
Can Baltimore be had on the ground? San Francisco was able to move the ball on them. They ran the ball on them this year and kept that game close.
Anecdotally, it doesn't feel like it. It feels like the Ravens' weakness is consistent pass rush without having to blitz a ton of guys. But maybe. I mean, Tennessee could do that on anybody, it seems like. I mean, you just did it on the Patriots, who don't let anything up to anybody.
So I'm thinking off the top of my head here and spitballing, but the teams that gave the Ravens the biggest problems. So when they lost to the Browns 40-25, Nick Chubb ran for 165-3 that day. Mm. If you look at the bad teams that played them really close, like Pittsburgh, who took them to overtime the next week, the Steelers didn't run the ball at all that day. In fact, they didn't do a whole lot offensively. It was just kind of a close defensive struggle with a bunch of Ravens turnovers. They beat the Bengals in a one-possession game in that contest. The Bengals didn't run the ball. So it's kind of a hodgepodge, like a mismatch of a couple times you've been able to run it on them. The San Francisco game in the rain, that gross day, Mostert did go for 146 on 19 carries.
But just anecdotally, they were tied for 20th against the run with 4.4 yards a pop. And, you know, teams ran it for 74 first downs against them, which is among the best totals in the league. So I don't know. I guess you can run the ball on them, but you wonder how much of that is, you know, not as many attempts because you don't have the ball as much or whatever.
Look, the key really is can you stop Jackson?
Yeah.
Honestly, you can run the ball as much as you want to. The Titans ran like crazy on the Patriots. They scored 14 points. So
that's
what?
True. Yeah, I know. That's adorable.
14 points against the Ravens is probably about a third of what you might need.
So I overshot there a little bit with my 11.5 on. So it's 9?
9. Let's go to these Sunday games. Two games, 3:05, 6:40 kickoffs. Why are we moving the time back on Sunday? We're not going 1-4? That's what we did this past weekend.
It's annoying.
I like 1-4 better than 3-6-40.
I like that a lot. Way better.
Houston, the Texans, after surviving in overtime against the Bills, came back from down 16-0. Here's your present. Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs. Kansas City clearly going to be favored. They are streaking going into the playoffs. Their defense has been great. What's your line?
As awesome as Houston was in that comeback, and it really was the Deshaun Watson comeback, it's really more of the Bills refusing to win. I think Vegas will see Houston for what they really are, just a broken, flawed team that, especially without Will Fuller, that just relies on magic from
maybe he'll be
from
back,
Deshaun
though.
Watson. He might be back.
He was close to playing this week.
But they don't leave in the middle of the first quarter with a hamstring or a groin or some other muscle kind of thing. I think Kansas City's favored by 9.5.
You got that on the nose.
Nailed it! Yeah!
9 and a hook. That, by the way, is the highest total of the weekend. So that's a 50-point over-under.
Yeah, I could see it.
They think that if something
becomes a shootout. Kansas City gets
a
lead, and then Houston you know, climbs back into it, but they're not winning.
All four games, by the way, 44 or higher. They don't think we're going to get any of these kind of slobber knockers that we
just had. Well, the wild card round was a bunch of unders. That was a low-scoring weekend.
Last game, Seahawks, Packers, Lambeau Field. presumably going to be very chilly in Green Bay. 6:40 start time on Sunday evening. This promises to be a pretty good game, actually, because you know, even though the Packers were great all year, won the division, got a bye, number two seed in the conference, people just haven't really bought them as being as good as their record. They've won a lot of close games, and they don't pass the eye test as being dominant. Like San Francisco, most of the year, dominated.
Kicking people's butts,
look at point margin. That's not the Packers' bag. It's not really what they do. What's your line for Seahawks at Packers?
5.5 is my instinct in favor of Green Bay.
Green Bay -4.
That's close to a toss-up.
Yeah,
then, right?
And I'll bet you, well, you get to 3 for being at Lambeau. So basically, Vegas is saying they think Green Bay is a point better. But I think that could still come down a little bit, too. I wouldn't be surprised by kickoff if that's not a 3-point line, 3.5 maybe.
Nor I. I think people would want to bet Seattle in that case. I mean, again, Seattle doesn't do it sexy anymore. Like, early in the season, they were winning with style, and it was flair, and it was fun. I think now they're doing the just enough bit.
They're just not that good right
now. They're
not. If Carson was still healthy, I could see them beating the Packers. I give them very little chance without him. But that's got more to do with the Seahawks than Green Bay. If Philly had won this past weekend and Wentz was healthy, I might actually take the Eagles to go there and beat them.
I'm overreacting to – I mean, they finished 3-4 down the stretch. Close game with San Francisco where they actually were really getting after it, and that was a good ball game. Those Rams and Cardinals games where they got throttled. I'm putting way too much stock in that. It's probably a weakness here of mine when I'm evaluating Seattle. But losing 3 out of 4 the way they did, they were nip and tuck with Carolina, who was garbage at that point, and they lost those Rams and Cardinals games to bookend it. I cannot see those. And again, I'm sure that I'm overreacting to those losses, but I just don't believe in Seattle right now. And watch them get to the title game.
There are your betting lines for round number 2 in the NFL playoffs. By the way, this tweet just came across from Jason Lacanfora. He said the Redskins denied it at the time, but now confirmed they began their drive for a new coaching staff and front office just after Thanksgiving. Dan Snyder and former coach Joe Gibbs interviewed Ron Rivera, others prior to the end of the regular season. Gibbs played a key role for ownership in the process. Mm-hmm. So we wondered, who is the third party? Who's involved with Dan Snyder?
Who's the third man, Tommy?
Joe Gibbs, apparently heavily involved for the Redskins. Good for Dan Snyder to tap into Gibbs as a resource. We're Grant and Danny, our buddy Will Brinson, on yesterday's NFC tilts and the Saturday night that was for Tom Brady and the Patriots. Grant and Danny on the Fan next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.